just picking up a lot of kids, training the kids. You know, it's like, it's crazy. It's like it went from like one or two kids, you know, now I think we're at like maybe 40 kids now, 50 kids, something like that.
Wow.
Man, just training the kids, you know, rehabbing the knee for next year's season, just working. My daughter was born last month. She's around here somewhere. She's probably with her mom eating.
Right.
But, you know, I've just been busy, man. You know, extremely busy. The whole COVID thing has awakened, I guess, the hustler in me, you know, now. So it's like, I don't even sit still. I barely have time to sleep, you know. It's literally, if it's not football, it's my job working or training. So it's like, you know, it's always right. Something on the constant go with me.
Right, exactly. Busy times. Are you've been in Worcester this summer?
Yeah, I live there. I live in Worcester, downtown. You know, I mean, I love it here. You know what I mean? Community has really supported and backed me in anything and everything that I do. You know, I've won 2 state titles here with the Worcester Cowboys. You know, I play football here with the Mass Pirates, Coach Ed Nichols, alongside of you now, my guy.
That's right.
So it's just, you know, it's just, life is good, man. I can't complain, man. God has blessed me, so, you know, I can't complain.
Yeah, for sure. So, how we're going to do this is we're just going to talk about, like, your early life, like, growing up, high school, college ball, stuff like that, and then get into your career with the NFL, arena, stuff like that, and then get into coaching a little too. So we'll, you know, cover a kind of wide range of stuff. So it's definitely be able to get a lot of good stuff out there.
Gotcha.
So my first question is, what made you fall in love with the game originally? Was it something that you just kind of grew up with, or what kind of got you to?
Well, it's like I was in love with basketball as a kid. Like, it's probably the first thing I think I picked up and did anything with was a basketball. And I was extremely good. My family is just, I come from a really, really strong athletic family. My mom was a state champ. You know, my dad was, you know, arguably one of those big bruising fullbacks/big backs, running backs. So he was really good. All my brothers were good. My sister was the number one catcher in the nation.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you know, family, my big brother had played running back, was a star running back, him and my god brother at my high school. So watching them for their 4 years being Thunder and Lightning, you know, everybody played football, man, around me. I wanted to be Barry Sanders. So, like, for me, juggling the basketball and the football, you know, it's like I did football because literally everybody around me played football. So I was just like, you know what? Let me try it. So I tried flag for like 2 years, like lit it up, you know. I was an instant success when it came to flag. So then tackle came along, and I lied to my mom. I actually went and signed myself up, forged my mom's signature, the whole nine. Like, you'd have thought a parent filled that paper out for real, you know. And I literally came back home that day, and I remember literally the lie was like this. I said, "Hey, mom," and I'm a mom's boy. I'm a baby boy. So she's like, "Yeah, baby," you know. I'm like, I made the football team, the tackle football team today. They had a tryout down in Bunnell. That's where I'm from. I'm like, they had a tryout down, and I just tried out. Mom, I just wanted to see how good I was, mom. And I was the best one there, and they picked me. So she said, "Oh, yeah." She said, "Oh, my God, that's good, son, that's good." I was like, "Yeah." And they said it cost $80. It was $80 by then. $80, mom, and all you got to do is just buy me some football cleats, you know. And she went to my stepfather. You know, after she found out I lied, Because when she came to the first practice, they gave her copies of all the papers, and she was like, what the hell is all this? And I'm like, heart, like, on the floor, like, I'm just, you know when you're about to get a whooping, and you, like, you get that little tingle in your butt, you know what I'm saying? So it was like, that was like, yeah, so the butt was tingling, you know? And I just knew she was going to just whoop me, but she laughed, you know, she laughed. When we got back home, she literally came in my room. She was like, Greg, get out, because me and my brother Greg shared a room at the time. And she was like, she shut the door. I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to get whooped. Oh, my God. Like, oh. So the butt's tingling again, you know. So she said, you think you slick, huh? And I was like, well, what you talking about, mom? You know? And she was like, I ain't signed none of these papers. How'd you sign these papers, right? And so I kind of like brushed it off, kind of like, nah, mom, I don't, you sign them, you know? I'm trying to lie my way out of a lie, which is like the complete opposite of what you're supposed to do, you know? And she just bust out laughing. She said, you are something else. Like, I can't, you're like, you just something else, son. Like, you gonna play. She said, but don't ever do this again. So maybe like 3-4 days later, I forgot that I had her actual, like the what I traced her signature. I had it in my pocket. You know what I'm saying? So she goes through the laundry and she pulls it out of the pocket and she was like, well, I'll be damned. You know, this boy, like, but that was my first experience, my first year. You know, I did my thing, but I had an okay year. It was like, you know, contact is contact the first time you get it. Like, you know, I had to have that very, like, that hard hit. I had to go through, like, the back hurting and feet hurting and all the bruises, you know. So I really thought I wanted to quit, like, at one point. And I told my mom, like, I don't want to play. And she was like, you on what? Like, my mom don't play no quitting. Ain't no quitting in this house, you know. And I remember she slapped me in the back of the head, like, psh, you know, like, girl, like, boy, like, you a man, son, like, you a boy, like, you better have some, basically, you better have some cojones, you know, you better have some coconuts about yourself, you feel me, you better stand on something, like, I don't raise no quitter, son, like, you gonna get your behind, go in that room, take them clothes off, get in the bath, take your nice warm bath, and you'll be all right, because my back was killing me, I remember just my back was killing me. But I didn't know how to play football then, you know. I was still good because I was athletic. I was the most athletic kid, you know, on the field. I just didn't know how to put it together for football, you know.
Right, right.
But my second year, oh, my God. Second year, I moved from fullback to tailback and killed it. Third year, I went to quarterback.
Okay.
Stayed at a quarterback, you know, lit it up at quarterback, literally lit it up. Teams didn't survive past halftime. Wow. You know, because we had a mercy rule. Anytime it's like 32-0, game over. So teams, we get in the second quarter, and by the time the halftime about to come up, y'all might as well just scrap the band up and, you know, and get back on y'all bus because it's over, you know. And then I was a high-rated middle school quarterback. We didn't have middle school football, so I had to play. I played Pop Warner all the way through eighth grade. And yeah, man, you know, freshman year, varsity, I didn't play any. I started JV quarterback, lit it up, you know, a couple 300-yard games passing. I always had 100 yards on the ground. So, you know, I really lit it up. In my freshman year in high school. And then the varsity running back gets hurt, breaks his collarbone. And I've been killing varsity, you know, when we scrimmage them, like I've been killing varsity. So the coach was like, my name's Marshawn. A lot of people don't know that. Everybody knows me by Marty. Mm-hmm. But like, we're going to move Marshawn up to varsity, see how he do. You know, we got a lesser opponent to get his feet wet, you know, in this first game before we get into our heavy play, you know. And my first game, I think I had like 100 and maybe 20, 30 yards, 40, some like in the mid, like in the mid range. It wasn't 150, but it was somewhere in the, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I had 3 interceptions.
Wow.
So, and I averaged like maybe 40 yards a kickoff return. Mm-hmm. So now the varsity coach is like, we got to give him more, you know, give him a little bit more play. So I lit it up the rest of the year on varsity as a freshman running back. And then my second year, first day of school, I get arrested. Federal drug charges. And so I was arrested. I was taken out of school. I was expelled. This is how the system works in Florida. Where I'm from is like, it's a big color line. Everything is either white or black. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, you know, I haven't gotten in trouble forever, but like at that time, you know, people of color was getting terrible, 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 like terrible charges. You know, like the numbers and the charges was just like outrageous. You know what I mean? So me, I wasn't an habitual offender or no, nothing like that. It was nothing crazy. It was like, basically it was like a drug bust that happened in school and another guy got caught with some stuff and everybody kind of blamed it on me. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So I get arrested, I get taken out of school. We had one high school where I live, one, right? We had like maybe 3,500 kids in that school. Now, I got expelled. One of my, you know, clauses from the court was I'm expelled out of every school in the county. Every high school. We only got one. We're gonna go to school. So now I can't go to school, so I can't get no schooling. So what you think I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go back doing what I was just doing, which y'all just caught me with. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? You know, forget football. Football's dead. And I'm just gonna do my 1-2, you know?
Wow.
So I ended up getting an appeal and they sent me to an alternative school when I realized that, like, I really, like, am a normal kid that just made dumb decisions. I wasn't one of these dumb kids out here doing dumb stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When I got in trouble, everybody was like, well, wow, what? Like, everybody was like, what? Like, people that knew me knew that I was kind of like out there, I was doing all the wrong stuff. You know, they was just like, bro, it was only a matter of time before they caught up with you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
But literally everybody in school was like, oh my God, like, for real? You know, like, you couldn't find nobody to say anything bad about me because I'm nice. I don't do nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I got the appeal to go to alternative school. Go to alternative school, literally straight A's there, you know, and won another appeal to come back in school. So I thought I was going to be able to play football, and they was like, well, no, you're not going to play no football. So I ran track. Ended up getting kicked off the track team because I was, like, late to practice some days. You know, other days I wouldn't put in effort. I was just like, all right, I'm just going to run. I'm going to do my little 1-2. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And, hold on. I think my people are here. Sorry about that, y'all.
Are you good?
Okay, sorry about that, y'all.
No, you're good. You're good.
So I ran track. I did decent. I made all district. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then my junior year, it was like that whole, I had to have something different to kind of change everybody's views. So like literally when I was a, you know, just perfect guy over there. You know what I'm saying? No, perfect guy out there, alternative school. Because I'm over there with kids that like really don't care, really don't have like no morals. They don't have no standards. They don't have nothing that they stand on. They're disrespectful. They just, you know, it was just like, it's not my cup of tea, and they wasn't my type of people to be around like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I wanted to get out of there as fast as I could, you know, and so I did things like ask them to bring like the work that we had, like, could you bring my work from the high school? Because I want everything that I do to carry over perfectly, like it, you know, like it's supposed to. I don't want them to be like, oh, you was in an alternative school, so your curriculum doesn't carry over. I didn't want that, you know? So did that. And then I had straight A's, you know what I mean? I was one of the kids that literally would straighten other people and make sure that they wouldn't be doing anything wrong or stupid. Sorry about it.
No worries.
Trying to move here. You know, everybody, all the teachers over there, they spoke on my behalf, you know, to the state, and the state allowed me to come back to school, to regular school, which it was already embarrassing to be in alternative school, rode the regular bus, like the regular bus to school. So I'm riding my regular bus to school with my friends, but they're now, when the buses pull up, their squad car is there now at school. And you literally have to get escorted to, with an officer, to the alternative school. So the punishment was, if you got kicked out of high school, you went to the alternative school, you just had to see, basically looking at what you complain about all the time, but really, truly, you really miss regular school. You miss going to lunch, you miss talking to your boys, you miss the arguments, you miss the fights, you miss the girls, you miss everything, like, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, everything, you know what I mean? So, got back, worked my butt off that summer. You know, I told myself and I told my brother, I was like, I'm gonna beat your record at school. I'm gonna be the best one to ever come through there. And at this point, me and my bigger cousin, we were like, quote unquote, the young guys that was really good. That was really good in the, thank you. That was really good in the, you know, as youngsters, you know, as young freshmen.
Right.
So, but I got kicked out of school. Nobody could see what I did in my sophomore year, you know, because I was out of school. So my junior year, I wanted it to be that year. So that year was the year. Like, I worked my butt off all summer. You know, I just made sure that I was in shape. I made sure that I worked, made sure that I played basketball. I made sure that I did all the things that I thought I could do to maximize my potential on the field. And I did. Not only did I surpass what I wanted to do, I have still to this day, which is we're going on 16 years. 16 years now since I think I set that. I set that record in like 2003. So that's what, 17 years?
17 years, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, 17 years. So that year I rushed for 1,608 yards, which was never done at my school ever. And I had, I think, 28 rushing touchdowns, 29, something like that. And it was like, it was crazy, man. Like, I can't explain like how it was like night and day. Cause I came into the team the fourth running back.
Right, right.
Running back. And I complained to my mom, because it was like my older cousins were the ones that were like starting in front of me. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So my mom's like, son, they ain't gonna be able to keep you bottled up. I'll never forget this. She said, they ain't gonna be able to keep you bottled up for long, son. You special. I ain't never seen nobody do what they do with that ball, what you do with that ball. And in my mind, I'm like, you my mama, you better tell me I'm straight. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But my mom was one of those ladies that's bluntly honest. If you're not that, you're not that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? She gonna let you know, like. So, in my mind, I'm just like, football has always became easy. It was really, really easy to me. Like, as soon as I picked up the ball, it was like, I knew what to do with it. You know, it was like instinct. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Literally, it was just like, it's in my blood. So the third game of my junior year, I get an offer from Pittsburgh. So I'm like, damn, like, you know, like all I did was only rushed for three games. Like this only happened, you know, this is like literally after our third game,
I got a certified letter in the mail from the University of Pittsburgh, and it was literally a letter of intent. They offered me right there, like, after three games. And so for me, I was like, oh, this is crazy. And then all the letters from everywhere, like everywhere in the country, were coming in. I didn't realize that in those three games, a lot of coaches seen what they wanted to see, you know what I'm saying, when it came to what they wanted in a running back or an athlete on their team. So junior year finishes out, we lose in the playoffs, state playoffs, you know, I'm upset. But we bring our team back. Literally all the guys that are most, that for the most part, all the skill guys, for the most part, we all play Little League together. Like, we came up together. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're back in action again, you know, my senior year. Then I get, lighten it up. We get to, like, I think the fourth game of the season or something like that, and we're in practice, and we're in a third period. But coach specifically says nobody touch my, like, nobody could touch me. If it was contact, it was contact. But if it was thud, don't even touch me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And my little cousin, I don't know what he was thinking, but he was playing. He was our starting corner, and he just shot at my legs, and I seen him at the last minute. And he caught me, caught my foot, and I put my hand down, something I always do. As soon as I stuck my hand down, I blow out my entire elbow, literally everything.
Oh, God.
Everything tears around the elbow, and the elbow's dislocated. Like, I thought my arm snapped off because my arm was, like, in, behind me. Like, it was behind. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was literally bent, like, off to the side. You know what I mean? Behind. And so when I look down at my arm, I'm panicking now, like, because I'm thinking my whole arm done snapped off. Like, I'm thinking your arm was snapped off. You know, it snapped off. You know what I'm saying? It's gone. And, the trainer, I remember her coming over and picking my arm up, and the nerves were already damaged, so I really couldn't feel too much of it. So, like, I just see her take my arm, and it was just, like, limp, like a shoestring, man. And she moved it and put it in the air cast, and I remember going to the hospital and finding out that I dislocated my elbow, and I tore, like, you know, tissue and tendons and all kind of extra stuff. But it's, like, when I say I was born to play this game, like, I was born to play this game, because four weeks after that, I get in a car accident. I get, literally have to peel half of my face. That's, well, this guy healed up pretty good, but I still got the scar right there, if you can see it. No, it's on this side. Yeah, it's right here. There it is.
I see,
but it used to be like a whole bunch of other little scratches right here. But I literally had to, all this, everything from here over was out of the windshield of the car. Everything from here in was inside of the car. So this is hanging out of the car, you know, and I'm stuck in the car. And I had to literally push my hands inside of the glass, pin them to the side of my face, and pull the glass out and kind of like pull my head out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, I went to the hospital, you know, I was telling them, like, I was panicking because this was a Thursday. We got out of practice early and we're going to the beach to fool some girls. I will never forget this. And, man, women will get you, man. Listen, man, y'all better watch out for the women, man. Women are dangerous. But I literally told the doctor that I had a football game the next day. We were playing New Smyrna Beach. I will never forget this. And I'm like, hey, man, I got a game tomorrow. He was like, a game? I was like, yeah. I was like, do whatever you got to do. My neck don't hurt. I was like, I ain't bruised up. I'm straight. You know what I'm saying? Like, my head don't hurt. Like, I'm just scratched up. Like, I'm cool. You know what I mean? And the doctor was like, I don't think it'd be, you know, medically okay for me to tell you to go play. I was like, listen, man. Are you gonna write something on a piece of paper that say I can't play, or are you telling me I shouldn't play? And my mom was saying right there, and mom said, "How you feel?" I said, "My mom's great. Like, my mom knows a bit. Like, my mom good for real. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not gonna play with your mom. If I got a headache, I'll tell you. Like,
right.
I don't have no headache. I feel good. I feel normal. Like, I want to leave. I'm ready to go. You know." And she was like, "Okay." And the doctor was like, "Well, I'm just telling you." Not to play tomorrow. I was like, okay, doc, you did, you know, can y'all make sure I'm straight? You know, just clean it up. It's all good. I was like, can you put a little patch over here? And then my mom had grabbed a couple more of the little patches, like this, like, you know, the little bandages that's like,
yeah.
You know? And she grabbed a few of those and then we left. And I remember when we got home, she said, when you wake up in the morning, if you got a headache for real, you're not playing. And I was like, all right, mom. And so like, I'm gonna see if I can find some footage or some old pictures and show them to you. You will see I'm out. Literally, I got a stocking cap on, kind of like this, and I got it down low, and you can see the patch all on the side, you know, from when they ended up stitching this up, two or three stitches or something like that, and then it was like this glue stuff. They kind of glued some other little, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So yeah, you know, and then I played, and I had 200 yards on the ground that game. Like, wow. I had to play, like, and was running hard. Wasn't no scary running. I was running hard, you know, and that, I was just like, this is... No, this is crazy. And then, you know, finished out the year strong, you know, like I was supposed to. And then we lost in the playoffs again. Mm. You know, and just, man, I just, at that point, you know, it seemed like every school, everybody and their mama was after me, it seemed like, you know.
You feel like playing running back, and then obviously you played corner too, kick return, power return. You feel like having that, you know, that versatility, that background that really helped you during the recruiting process, being able to be noticed by a lot of schools?
Yeah, I mean, the more you can do on the field, like for instance, like if I'm a left tackle and I can play right tackle and I can long snap, you can bet your ass I'm gonna have a long career. Mm-hmm. Alone, when I play all of them equally good, not just these guys that say I can play this and play that, and you can't play them. You feel me? Like, you can't play like if we took you, Mike, and put you at strong safety. Yeah, you understand what the offense is doing. That's cool, but you're not gonna be able to stick for a long time out there, cause you gotta hit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And your body's not accustomed to hitting. So you got, yeah, you'll make some tackles, you know what I'm saying? But you damn sure ain't going to do it like you throw that ball 300 yards. You feel what I'm saying? Right.
Yeah, definitely.
So, but when you have somebody that's equally good, and I was equally great at all those things, like I could return the ball, you blank and I'm gone. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I was at strong hands catching the ball, you know, playing DB, because I played DB my first 2 years at Cincinnati.
Right.
You know, playing DB, I understood what a receiver wanted to do. I just understood the game, you know. Mm-hmm.
And then you said you played quarterback too. I'm sure that helped you out a little, just understanding the game and understanding what, you know, what quarterbacks are going through when they have to hand the ball off, like stuff like that. So I think that versus
all the mechanics, the reads, it's like, once you play quarterback, you understand defenses as a whole. And you understand how to dissect them, how to beat them. You feel me? Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, for instance, like, you know, in cover two, you got maybe two or three seams two or three sections on the field that you know you can exploit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I know this as a defensive guy, I know where I can play, where I can bait you into. I'll bait you into the seam post because I know that's what you want because you see two high safeties. Mm-hmm. But what if I'm a safety that run off the hash when you look away or when you look at me, I run off the hash, but really I'm just running to take away. I'm running for to force you to throw that to where my mic is dropping.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like, if you understand stuff like that, then you're able to be not only look like the best one on the field pound for pound, but you will stand out to every coach's eyes. You know what I'm saying? Because they'll be like, oh my God, I just seen this guy throw for 300. And then he returned two kicks for a touchdown. Oh my! Oh wait a minute, is that him at free safety? Oh, he leads his area in picks, and tackles, and quarterback stats. Oh shit! And returner stats. Oh wow,
that's valuable.
Let's take another look at this guy.
You know? Coach. Oh my bad. I was gonna say, yeah, Coach. Our next question that I'm gonna ask you is: clearly, you went to Cincinnati. Can you talk about your experience there and what it was like to be a part of, you know, the number three team in the country at one point and all your team success?
How can I make this? Trying to use the best language I can for y'all, you feel me? We went from being not horrible, but we was probably, and I would say, I'm not even gonna say probably, we were the best recruiting class that our school probably has ever seen in the game of football. Like, for the kind of guys that they got, and, you know, like, we were all guys that just coincidentally signed to Cincinnati, and we were great guys, respectively, in our states. Like, we had, I think, maybe two or three Mr. Basketballs and Mr. Footballs on our team. You know what I'm saying? We had, I think everybody damn near on our team was first team All-State in something. Literally, all 33 of us were either first team in something in the state. You know, we had everything from top 10 DBs in the state to the number one defensive player in the nation. We had the number one defensive player of the year, USA Today's High School Defensive Player of the Year signed.
Wow.
I was, I think, the number three running back in the state of Florida. I signed. We had the number one athlete out of Missouri signed. We had the number one athlete out of PA signed. We had a two- or three-time state champion from PA signed. We had two back-to-back state champ. I think it was back-to-back. No, undefeated. It was coming off an undefeated state champ, number two team ranked in the nation. We had four or five guys from that team signed. So, like, you know, so when you're talking about talent, oh, and don't forget Connor Barwin was in that class. Yeah. Jason Kelsey was in that class.
Yeah.
You feel me? So now you know, they, yeah. So, and out of the 33 that signed, that came, 28 of us played as true freshmen.
Wow. That's crazy.
Like 28 of us played as true freshmen.
Tony Pike was in that class, right?
Tony was like a gray shirt kid, so he came in early. Okay. I think he was a little early, but he was still in our class. But he was like, he just came in early. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. So it was like, man, being there and watching where we came from, because they were, you know, watching us go. I think we went 4-7 my first year, and then I got kicked out of school again. My second year, it was like high school all over again.
Mm.
And I think that year they went 6-4, 6-5, 7-5, something like that. They made a bowl game. They went to the International Bowl, I think. But I was able to practice with the team, you know, that year. I just couldn't play, which had me upset because I literally was locking everything down every day. I would lock them, click, click, you know. But I couldn't play. You know, I was so upset that I was more upset at myself. And I was homeless at the time, too, because we got evicted out of our off-campus house. You know what I mean? School paid for everything. So now I'm living out of the car. I'm working four jobs, kind of watching football from a distance. It was a long 7-8 months, man. It was a long time. But I was able to pay this bill back. It was 10 grand to the school, paid it back cash. Coach Kelly was like, man, you know, you take care of your end, I'll take care of mine. He ended up signing the scholarship back for me, filled all that paperwork out for me, you know. Then he switched me to wide receiver. He gave me a lot of responsibility because I guess I showed it, you know, being homeless and working four jobs and, you know, not going back to Florida, stayed in Cincinnati. Like, literally stayed in Cincinnati at the time. It was the number one dangerous city in the nation. You know, the murder through the roof. So there's a lot of things I seen from that car window, you know. A lot of sleepless nights. But the only thing I could think of, man, was like, if I get football back, I'm never going to let nobody take it from me. Not myself, not nobody, not my greed, not my laziness, not no nothing. Like, it gave me a drive, you know. It gave me a drive to want to get better and do better. And I did that whole summer. I did not miss a workout with a team in the summertime. I did not. I come off of my fourth job, which was construction. I come off the construction job. I'll go to campus, and I would work out with them for 2.5 hours, 3 hours. I'm from the weight room, literally in my work pants and some Timberland boots. You feel me? I'll go in the weight room. I'll work out in the weight room. Get whatever workout they did, I did, and then I'll hit the field with them because, you know, it couldn't be no coaches on the field. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I can hit the field and not worry about nothing. So I hit the field and I found out that I was going to play wide receiver. So I had to learn how to play that. I didn't know how to do that. Like, I hated wide receiver because it was a pretty boy position and that wasn't me. I was like, you know, I was real grimy and old school. I was dirty, mud on my face. You know, I'm a country boy. You know, we ain't no tuxedo wearing, you know, shiny shoe guy. You know, we ain't that. You know, we're guys that believe in getting the job done. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So for me, it was something that was totally different, but I was grateful to this man for giving me the opportunity to play again. So for me, it was like, and whatever he needed me to do, I'm gonna make sure I knock it out to the best of my ability. You know what I mean? So it was terrible. I couldn't see. I had bad eyesight then, and I think I caught 36 balls that year. I couldn't run no routes. I was getting jammed up. Oh my God! When I look at film from my redshirt sophomore year, I'm just like disgusted with myself. Like, you know what I mean? But that was the first time I ever played wide receiver. So, right. You know, we're talking about 2007 was the first time I've ever played wide receiver ever. Period in my life. You know what I'm saying? And I had great guys around me to help me and to prune me and to stay with me and stay on me and help tweak it so it got to the point where they tweaked it enough to where I could use it, but I had to make it better. I had to like make it my own, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept jugging. And then that summer after my redshirt sophomore year, I went and got LASIK. And if you got bad eyesight and you run a spread offense and you got to look to the sideline for the signal, oh, that's hard. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking to the sideline. I can't see nothing. It's just like a sea of people. So I literally have to ask the other receiver, like, what we running? And mess it up. You know, coach should have benched me. He should have benched me a long time ago, but I was such an athlete.
You had to
put me on the field somewhere. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then that junior year, I don't know if this is probably, I don't know nobody that had jumped like this. I went from 36 to 87 wow. catches. You know, 87 catches, I think might have been close to a school record. You feel me? And I had 1,200 yards and some change receiving. You know,
mm-hmm.
It was just crazy, man. You know, I'm All-American. You know, I was All-American kick returner my redshirt sophomore year, but, you know, my junior year, that's when I was the most dangerous man in college football. You know what I'm saying? That was, like, that year. Like, you know, I had that game against Oklahoma, and that, like, because everybody questioned, like, what could this kid do against, like, on prime time against quality opponents, against those quote-unquote power conference teams, you know? Mm-hmm. But at the time, if you ask me, the Big East was, like, this is just my opinion. You know, we were the best football conference pound for pound in the country because we had 5 or 6 ranked teams in the top 25. Right. SEC ain't have it. ACC ain't have it. Pac-10, Pac-12 ain't have it. Big 10 ain't have it. None of them had it. You know, we had it. It